in Matthew chapter 1 is where we will be at this morning. So however you engage with Scripture, I encourage you to find Luke 1 and Matthew 1. This Advent season, we pay attention, we focus the spotlight on important words like hope, joy, peace, love, and faith. For hundreds upon hundreds of years, the Church Universal has strategically set this time of year aside to recenter ourselves on the first coming, the first arrival of King Jesus, all the while holding in tension his second arrival when he returns to put the world back to rights. But when we pay attention to this story, it's not too much of a stretch to say that there are some absurdities about this story. There are some "are you kidding me" type of moments within this story. And without these absurdities, the Christmas story, the Advent story, wouldn't be what it is. It wouldn't require much faith to believe in this story without the absurdities that are found within this story. First and foremost, this story proclaims a virgin conception. This story proclaims something that is naturally impossible to happen, but we believe it to be true. For without it, the Christmas story wouldn't have the gumption, it wouldn't have the impact that it otherwise would have. Atheists believe in the virgin birth of the universe. Christians believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. When it's all said and done, choose your miracle. There are some other absurdities in life that exist that are just plain weird. First and foremost, gravity. Gravity is undefeated. Gravity wins every single time. No matter how much you test it, no matter how much you try it, gravity is going to win. Quarks. Anybody ever seen a quark? The Q-U-A-R-K, the things that really smart, science-y people kind of look at. It's the thing that makes the thing that makes the thing that makes the thing. It's like when you split an atom, and then you split an atom, and then you split an atom again, you get this thing called a quark. It's an absurdity, but it's true. It's real. Earth's precise conditions for life to exist. How many of you have ever had an opportunity to pay attention to some of these exact measurements that exist, that if they didn't exist, life on planet Earth would not exist? Like the fact that we have a moon. No moon, no life on planet Earth. Earth would be strategically locked in a gridlock, and half of the Earth would scorch to death, and the other half of the Earth would freeze to death. But the fact that God put a moon, this rock, this ball up in the atmosphere to help the Earth rotate and have a tilt and all the sciencey stuff that is necessary for the Earth to do what the Earth does so that life can exist. Dark matter, this crazy, absurd reality that's there about light. Light as both waves and particles. These absurdities about life, about reality, that are true. The virgin birth is one of the most incredible, absurd mysteries we can ever embrace, and that has profound significance on our faith today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we live by faith and not by sight. When Mary received her announcement from Gabriel, there was nothing to see except the angel and to hear except the angel's voice. The sight part came later on when the reality of what had been introduced to Mary really became true. You can't hide it. But what Paul tells us here is something very, very important about the Christmas story. For we live by faith and not by sight. There are main characters spread throughout the first Advent story, the Christmas story, that are absolutely crucial to the story. whether it's Zechariah and Elizabeth's story. Again, another absurd tale, right? That is very much connected to the first Advent story. Gabriel, God becoming flesh, the Christ child himself. Mary and Joseph, God choosing Mary and God choosing Joseph. For Mary, more than likely, scholars and historians tell us she was 13 to 15 years old. For all of our young teenagers, can you imagine to just try to put yourself in her shoes? What that would have been like to receive that type of announcement, this proclamation. I mean, not just started that you're hearing from an angel, which would have been absurd in the first place, and nobody would have believed you. But you're 14 years old, and you get this news beyond news that you are going to be pregnant by and through the Holy Spirit, and you are going to birth the Christ child, the Messiah, the Savior of the world into the world. Mary would have been socially classified as what's known as the Anawim, the pious poor. And she receives this absurd message from the angel Gabriel, who appeared to Daniel 600 years before and appeared to Zechariah concerning Elizabeth months before he shows up to Mary. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged or betrothed to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The word pledge, the word betrothed, it's a bridal price. It's a price that Joseph would have paid to Mary's dad to help with the family, to pay for the loss of income that would result from Mary marrying Joseph and no longer being a part of the house. It's a bridal price. So Mary was pledged, Mary was betrothed to be married to Joseph, descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What an absurd thing to happen, right? Mary going about her life, doing whatever it is that she was doing, and her life is completely 100% interrupted with the angel Gabriel saying, "Hi! You are about to do something that will change the course of human history. You are highly favored by the Lord." And we get the first Emmanuel. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words, as every single one of us would have been, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And then here's Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. Mary is pledged. Mary is betrothed to be married to Joseph. Something drastically weird and mysterious happens and begins to unfold right in front of her eyes. And she asks a really, really legitimate question. How will this be? How can this possibly happen? And this initial story ends with one of the most deepest and obedient responses in all of Scripture. Even to something that when we look at and when we examine, we say, that is absurd. That is absolutely ridiculous. Mary's response is not, you've got to be kidding me. But no, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to His word. Jesus teaches us, He teaches His followers to pray something very similar. And we pray it each and every single week. What is it, church? Your will be done. As absurd as it may be, Lord God, Your will be done. Your kingdom come, and Your will be done. Jesus prays this in the Garden of Gethsemane. God, not my will, but Your will be done. What faith Mary displays here so very early on in the story. And it made me wonder what type of impact Mary's faith had on Joseph as she and Joseph were raising him. What type of faith that this would have had upon Jesus as Mary and Joseph were bringing him up. Now for Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was to be found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I read this earlier this week, but the buts in life, not the B-U-T-T-S, but the B-U-T-S in life are the crossroads of formation in life. The buts in life can be the crossroads of formation in life. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But, again, this crossroad of formation of life. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It would have taken an angel to communicate such a message. Can we all be in agreement on that? Okay. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What I am overwhelmed with each Advent season as we pay attention to Mary's story, as we pay attention to Joseph's story, is all of these little hints, all of these little like witness cards that the Bible brings out to us about the profoundness of this story. But Joseph protects Mary. The word Matthew uses to describe Joseph, a righteous man, means so much more than just, yeah, he was a good guy. Matthew specifically chose this word to describe the man who was responsible for co-raising the Messiah. This term righteous describes a social classification for men in the first century who were very intentional in their Jewish Torah observant commitments. Very, very intentional about making sure that they obeyed the law well. Joseph takes the Shema very, very seriously. Joseph sacrifices at the temple very, very seriously. Joseph makes sure that his hot dogs have no pork in them whatsoever. They're all 100% beef hot dogs for Joseph. Joseph is an all-in, all-in type of guy. Who he wants to be and who he wants to be known as, a righteous man. And yet, he is faced with this absurd, impossible situation where his reputation as a righteous man is very much in jeopardy. Whatever Mary would have been known as in the community, within her family dynamic, whatever that is or was, very much in jeopardy. For Joseph, the same thing, but known as a righteous man. This situation laid before him would have put all of that into jeopardy. He's righteous. He's honorable. He's wise. He's honest. He's virtuous. He has this deep-seated integrity. He is a righteous man. And before the angel visits him in a dream, Matthew describes Joseph pondering everything that's going on. He's made no accusation. He has every right to. He has every right to expose Mary to public disgrace and eventually have her killed for this. His mind is racing with what to do. Joseph is faced, just like Mary, to make a decision regarding this extremely weird and difficult situation that neither of them wanted, nor did they sign up for. But here they are, nonetheless. They're faced with making a decision regarding something that was truly, truly difficult. That is somehow, some way, connected to the world-changing, world-altering, history-changing work of God. The gut-wrenching heart of these two stories is connected to their decision as to whether they will say yes to God, which is ultimately saying yes to Jesus. And their answer will cost both of them, both of their reputations. Both of their who they are and who they want to be known as is on the line. Mary, as a young lady, highly favored by the Lord. Joseph, as a righteous man. They both survey all that's going on. The mess, the cost, the scandal, the risk. And they decide in faith that God is at work in all of it. And they say, yes. They say yes. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Joseph gets up and he takes Mary home as his wife. They both say yes to the absurdity of this step, this leap of faith. They were willing to live into an active faith. They were willing to step out in faith and not just cognitively receive it, but to take that faith and to do something with it. I am the Lord's servant. Joseph went. Joseph arose from his sleep and went. And he did something. He lived out this faith. And for you and I, faith is like a muscle. To build it, you and I must use it. And it's more than just cognitively understanding information about the story. Many of us have heard this story for a really, really long time. Christmas season after Christmas season, maybe in July every once in a while. But we've heard this story over and over and over again. Cognitively, we get it. Information-wise, we get it. But do we follow in the footsteps of Mary and Joseph? Are we willing to take that leap of faith and to walk out the I am the Lord's servant? May it be to me according to your word. May we be willing to pay attention to the buts, the B-U-T, the crossroads in life, where we choose to be spiritually formed, where we choose to step out in faith. Are we willing to follow in the footsteps of Mary and Joseph? Here is something you can count on. Saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to God's plan, will cost you something. Saying yes to Jesus, declaring I am the Lord's servant, will cost you and I something. When you step out in faith, it will require courage. Courage to take the ridicule. Courage to whatever reputation you have built up about yourself, to lay it on the line and saying, Jesus, your way is better than my reputation. Jesus, your way about going about life is much better than my reputation. Even if I take the ridicule, even if I am made fun of, even if, Lord, your way is better. I am your servant. It will cost you and I something. When we declare and when we have the courage to say, God, your will be done. And you and I lay down our own wills for His will. Passages like Galatians 2 verse 20, they mean something. They do something to us. Where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hey, Benny, Galatians 2:20, please. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. Information is important. Knowing this story, absolutely 100% important. Knowing the virgin birth, absolutely 100%. It's a part of our story. Knowing that gravity wins every single time, that's really important to your health and to your well-being. That's good information. But we must allow this story to inspire us. To see that Mary and Joseph were willing to risk out in faith, to step out in faith, were willing to not just say, your kingdom come, your will be done, but to say, no, Lord, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to live it. I'm going to step out in faith each and every single day with your kingdom come, your will be done. May it be to me, Lord, according to your word. The buts in life, the crossroads of formation, that we're paying attention to, that we're pondering, that we're thinking about, that we're wrestling with. I'm going to follow that, and I'm going to pay attention to that crossroad, and I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to choose to say yes to Jesus each and every single time. But the ultimate question is Jesus worth it to you? Saying yes to Jesus will present life choices where we will be faced to do that which is easy and attractive. It would have been very, very easy for Mary to say, Gabriel, thanks, but no thanks. Lord God, Yahweh, thanks, but Adonai, thanks, but no thanks. Joseph could have said, I had a really bad matzo ball, and that dream was weird. I'm going to keep on doing what I want to do, and that is I'm just going to put Mary away quietly. She can go on. She can have this baby all by herself. But Joseph said, no, there's something else going on here. It would have been very easy and very attractive for Mary and for Joseph to say thanks, but no thanks. But instead, they took a leap of faith. They reached out in faith and they said, God is at work here. It's absurd, and there's no doubt about it, but God is at work here. Joseph adopted a whole new version of what it means and looks like to be righteous. Mary adopted a whole new version of what it means to be highly favored by the Lord. Every man who pays attention to Joseph's story and says, you know what? I want to be like that type of righteous man who is willing to say yes to the Lord. And every woman who pays attention to the Mary story and says, you know what? I want to be highly favored in the Lord like her. I'm going to follow her footsteps. I'm going to step out in faith just like Mary. I'm going to step out in faith just like Joseph. Come what may. Ridicule, scandal, cost, risk, whatever it is, come what may. God is in this and God is at work. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. And the ultimate question is, are you and I willing to do the same? No surface level commitment, but an all in type of Lord, I am your servant. Are you willing to say yes to Jesus and allow that yes to impact and to influence every part of your life? Stand with me, church. As we close out our service, if there is anyone here this morning who would like to take on the call of the yes and hasn't done so yet, if you have been pondering what's going on in your life and you're like, you know what, this direction that I've been going is not working out. I want another path. I want a better path. I want to choose this Jesus path. If you would like to begin that journey, please come down here and see me and we'll pray together and we will begin walking with that. If you would like to receive prayers from your brothers and sisters, if there's something on your heart that the church here needs to know about so that they can be in prayer about as well, please come down here and see me. And then after this song, we will pray together. But however you need to respond, after we pray here in just a second during the song, please do so. Our ladies, we have a lady prayer warrior out by the prayer room. We'll have a shepherd out there as well, willing to receive anybody who would like a more closed setting to pray together. But however you need to respond, please do so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these stories. Thank you for the faith, for the walking out of faith that Mary and Joseph did. God, help us to step out in faith like them, to answer the call that you have placed upon all of us, to follow you, to follow Jesus in every area of our life. God, give us the courage and the boldness and the determination to stay close to you and to walk with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.